God. Now I want to speak to quickly faithful people in this place. God spoke to me clear today. The fire of God will be rekindled this morning. I want to say this to faithful people. The fire of God. Team, if you're done, I want to ask the ushers when they're done to come and join me in the front. And everybody that's walking out around, come get them here. The fire of God will be rekindled this morning. Is somebody listening to me? I want to say this again. The fire of God will be rekindled again this morning. This is what God spoke to me about. And we were having an extraordinary time last night. We were praying here, seeking the face of God. God moved in a powerful way. Something shifted. And I want to declare this prophetically to you, not prophetically, prophetically, that something is about to shift over your life this morning, that God is going to take you avenues and depths that you've never experienced before. Listen, if there's ever hunger, who's hungry for God's Spirit? Well, this morning you ain't seen nothing yet. God's going to give you double dosage, and God's going to raise up people with the fire of His Spirit to do great exploits like never before. And this is what I want to touch on this morning. I want to teach you on growing in the Spirit. Because I really do believe that the life of the Spirit is a life of power. When you live a life of the Spirit, God reveals things to you long before it happens. Who knows what I'm talking about? So before it happens, you know it's going to happen because God reveals it to you. And so the life of the Spirit is a life of power. The life of the Spirit is I want to say this in my terms, all right? It's a no-nonsense lifestyle. You stand for the truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God. Because the life of the Spirit always attracts favor. It always attracts the fire of God. It always attracts the glory of God. It always attracts the power of God. Now, I don't know about you. Maybe you on this side. I know they will get to me now. But we are sick and tired of donuts and coffee and good times and schedules and programs. I'm speaking to people who needs and desires a fresh fire from God. Who says, I don't want to worry about time. In actual fact, I'm going to put a big board out there. Watch this, it's illegal in this church. Just by the way, free of charge, when Rodney Out Brown comes, he doesn't have service for 2 hours. 4 or 5 hours. The glory of God hits the place, trust me, 4 to 5 hours. So get ready for that one. Amen. But I'm speaking to people this morning, people that walk in the Spirit, that your life is consumed in the Spirit. You do not have time for anything else. You don't care about, you know, the new thing today to draw people to churches is, come, you have to come and taste our precious coffee. Listen, remnant people don't go to churches because their friends or family are there. They don't go to churches because they've got a great donut shop outside and there's great coffee being served. Now, remnant people don't even seek out a church closest to their home. They seek out a church closest to the Bible. This is what we need, churches closest to the Bible. Not closest to your opinion, closest to the Word of God. Because the Word of God transforms. Let me just quickly tell you this, that God made a pact with me, and I know my God cannot lie. Every word spoken from this front must come to pass. It will never come back void. It will never come back empty. It will be established. This is why I declare to you that this morning, the fire of God will fall anew. It will fall afresh. There will be a new zeal in your bones. Come on, a new fire. I want you to shout fire. 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 You might say, well, what fire is this? Where is this in the Bible? Well, it's full of the Bible. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, fire came down. Hebrews says that you do not know that your God is a consuming fire who makes His ministers a flame of fire. Shout fire. Fire. Shout fire. Fire. Fire was in the Old Testament. God spoke through fire. That burning bush wasn't consumed because of the fire of God. They were led, the Israelites was led during the night by a fire pillar. Shout fire. Fire. This is what you need. You need the fire of God. You don't need to be cool right now. You need to be on fire. We need the fire of the Holy Ghost. We need the fire. When the fire of the Holy Ghost comes, let me quickly explain to you what happens. When the fire of God comes in, fear of God comes in. We've lost the fear of God. Churches has lost the fear of God. Preachers has lost the fear of God. People that go to church has lost the fear of God. When the fire comes back, the fear of God grips your heart. Everything changes. When the fire of God comes, I don't serve Him like I want to serve Him. I serve Him like He wants me to serve Him. Because now there's a fire. Woo! When the fire of God comes, let me just quickly explain to you. They will not just feel it here. The children's church will have the overflow of the fire of God. My God. Shout hallelujah. I want to read a scripture. I want you to follow me in the book of Galatians chapter 3. This is the powerful apostle Paul speaking to the church of Galatians. And he gave them something profound. Can we have it on the screen if you have it? Galatians chapter 3 verse 1. And I want you to take some notes today. All right? I'm teaching. And I believe that this is not for your neighbor, it's for you. The word that I'm going to teach on is for you. So sorry about that screen. We'll sort it out. I'm going to rebuke it now. All right. So follow me in the scripture. Take out a pen, paper, take some notes. I want to start off. It says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? I want to stop there. O foolish Galatians, who has seduced, possessed, or cursed you? This is what Paul says to the church. He says, who has seduced you? Who has possessed you? What is wrong with you? What came into you? That's what he said. And you know what he called them? He says, foolish. I want to say this again. He didn't say, oh, they just need the love of God. That's not what he said. He said, you foolish. Who has bewitched you? Stupid. I like that. The word foolish means stupid, by the way. Go read. Get a word book. It even explains idiotic. Can I have a witness? Oh, stupid Galatians. Oh, childish Galatians. Oh, foolish guys. Who has bewitched you? What has possessed you? What came into you? Who has seduced you? That you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. I want to go on to verse 3. Can we get that on the screen? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Let's read that again. Are you so foolish? Are you so stupid? So idiotic that you started off in the Spirit, but now you want to end off in the flesh? Let me explain to you quickly. Who remembers the first day that you fell in love with Jesus Christ? Lift your hand. Who remembered what brought you to that place? Come on, you couldn't stop praying. You couldn't stop crying. When you heard church, you were there. I'm speaking, I brought up any Calvert Lifter. You in love. And you couldn't wait to get to church. When you hear that name Jesus, something leaped on the inside of you. Come on, when you thought about Christ, it was just Jesus, 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 Jesus. But somewhere along the line, we have become passive Christians. And we have become happy with where we're at. And then later down the line, 30 years later down the line, you're not on fire like you used to be 30 years ago. You don't go to church as often as you used to go. You don't even like to worship no more. You know, in today's society, the society that we live in, people want to hear music that they like. We get a list. Can you please sing this, sing that? Don't sing this, don't sing that. I always teach people that we don't worship you. We worship the Lord. You might say, I don't like that song. Christ loves that song. Oh, come on. Am I speaking to the right crowd? And when we worship Him, what do we see when we worship Him? I can tell you quickly what the angel sees when they worship Him. The angels cry out, holy, 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 holy. Have you noticed that the angels don't see any other things? They don't see devils around the throne? Maybe you hear me this side. The angels don't see death and problems and situations. What do they see? Holy, 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 holy. That's all they see. When we started off giving our lives to God, that's what we saw. Holy, holy, holy. Later on, we came to a place, He's tolerant. I don't like that song very much. You know, that's bad. I don't like the pastor's face. Here die mense irriteer my. Het jy gesien wat hy sê? Because later on, we become foolish Christians. And we start off great in the Spirit, but we end off in the flesh. I'm just saying to you as it is, today's people cannot differentiate between what is truth and what is false. Today, what is absolutely of the flesh, people say, that's the Spirit. I like what Rodney did. I have to mention him because he did it in his church. He said, the power of God hit the building and his church is full, packed of people. And he's standing in the front. He says, I saw in the back, there's a guy playing in the flesh. He says, he's seducing people in the flesh and making arm waves. And he says, absolutely not of the Spirit. He says, everybody's in one accord in the Spirit and this guy is playing games. He says, so the guy is running through the crowds, pushing people aside and going on. He says, when he got in the front, Rodney looked at him and he slapped him. Bam! Yeah. Hy sê klap daai man. Hy sê klap hom uit die vlees in die gees. And I say you never play with the Holy Ghost like that again. Because people don't know the difference. People don't know the difference. Oh foolish Galatians, how did you start off in the spirit and now you want to end off and you want to be made perfect in the flesh? This is why Christianity is dead and dull. This is why on a Mother's Day there's more people in the shopping malls than people in churches. Come on, when I grew up in church, when you speak about a weekend conference, let's say the weekend Pentecost, there was not place in churches. Seats were back to capacity. Today, do you know what they do? They go on holidays. Nothing when God blesses you for a holiday. But where's the fire? Where's the zeal that we have for God's house? First of all, last night I was cutting grass here at 10 o'clock at night. I was pushing. Do you know what came into my spirit every single second I was cutting grass? The zeal for my Father's house has eaten me up. The zeal for my Father's house has eaten me up. The zeal of the Father's house has eaten me up. Because this is what happens when you start off in the spirit. Stay in the spirit. You have to stay in the spirit. Many people don't know what's the difference. People, it's a prophetic word. This prophetic word is not me, it's Paul. Paul says in the last days, people will gather to themselves, heap up many teachers that will sear their conscience, tickle their ears. This is what's happening today. So people is totally walking in the flesh, totally. Today we've got, you know, this is one of the conversations that Rodney had with me. He said, can I tell you what I'm sick about in South Africa? That's what he said. I said, tell me, he said, of the prophet so-and-so. And who's your daddy? I'm your daddy. You my papa. I'm your papa. He says, that bull twang. Can we get back to business? Yeah. I like. When he said, I said, I feel the same way as you. Yeah. He said, we're sick and tired of this guy's a prophet, and this guy's a prophet, and that guy's a prophet. Last night we were praying here. I gave the guys a scripture. God said to me, Ezekiel chapter 13. He said, tell the prophets that's lying and seeing false visions that I'm going to deal with them swiftly. The Bible says, it goes on, he says, they say they see things and God showed it. He says, I'm not showing this. He says, they utter nonsense. That's not what Vessel says. The New King James Version says, they speak nonsense. They speak nonsense. And I've said it last week, I'm going to say this again. You can take this, you can leave this, mark my words. God is going to deal in this very hour with the false. He's going to remove those. Do you know why? Because Jesus Christ, whether you want to hear this or not, is coming back for a glorious church, a victorious church, a church of power. That's what he's coming for. A pure bride. Come on, what? If you believe this, I want to give Jesus 30 seconds of crazy praise in this house. A pure bride. Pure. A pure bride. Hallelujah. Come on, you better tell your neighbor the fire of God is coming this morning. Come on, tell your neighbor the fire of God is coming. And you know when God starts to touch people, is when we forget what people think about us. If you want a fire of God and you're still worried what Joe and Auntie Sun is going to think about you, when the fire comes, you're not going to get the fire. The fire comes to those who's hungry, to those who's thirsty. Listen, God didn't just use me one day and say, oh, you draw a nice suit, bike, come on, fight, young. No. I was hungry. When the rest of the world was sleeping, I was seeking. That's the difference. Dennis explained something to me. He said that he spoke to somebody, and long story short, many people say, oh, I like the miracles. The miracles doesn't happen here. Doesn't happen here. It happens behind the scenes when I'm seeking. That's where it happens. That's where the fire of God is rekindled. Whoo! The power of God is coming back to the church. I declare this, the power of God is coming back to the church of South Africa. The seeker-sensitive movement will be non-existing no more. The Spirit of God. Listen, if you like a church where there's order, and I know God's a God of order, just hear me. The Holy Spirit is going to disrupt order. Sing a hymn and a her. No more. Sing a likkie, gee a tikkie, en slaap a bikkie. No more. No more. God is always moving. He's always up to something new. And something new is coming to the body of Christ. Listen, listen. I can't dance to save my life. I promise you. I've got two left feet. I can't dance. But I want to tell you, just look at me. I believe that people's going to stand like this when the Spirit of God comes in. Suddenly, what gaan hier? What is this? Woo! Suddenly, can myself help me? Because the fire of God is coming back to His bride. My God is a consuming fire. Hallelujah! I love miracles. I love laying hands on people to see miracles. But do you know what God taught me here in this church? He said, create a culture of people that does not need the hands of vessel, but need to cry out to a living God. Teach people to touch the hem of His garment, not my garment. He can heal in your seat if there's a hunger, a holy hunger in you. You don't need me to call out a line. You cry out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me, and He will touch you right there. If you want to know why I can't stand still, when I preach, why I shout, why I jump, why I run, it's the fire, brother. It's the fire. They try to kill this fire. Every time they try to kill it, it's like when they throw the water, it's like the Holy Spirit is throwing the wood. If you think I'm on a mission now, watch me when I'm 60 years old. If Jesus doesn't come back in our lifetime, I promise you 8 years old, I'm going to run. Whew! I'm going to run around this place twice. No gray hair. It's only blessed vision, I rebuke it. I will not even be middle-aged. I'll be aged in the Spirit. With the full posture of Christ Jesus. From glory to glory. Amen. Ladies, I've got especially for the mothers. If you want to look young, stay young, get to the fire. The fire takes away the wrinkles. It takes away the sad faces. Fire, brother. Hallelujah. I'm speaking to people who have started off well in the Spirit. It's time to get back to your very first love. The way where you found God. Listen, it's not in the gimmicks. I was in a church recently. I don't this church is just hear my heart. I'm preaching around the world. I know exactly what I'm talking about. I've been to a church. And when I got there, the pastor said, I need to speak to you quickly. We got there and he said, we've got a problem. I said, did somebody die? Yes, the smoke machine. He says, the power of God will not be here. I can't guarantee the power because the smoke machine is dead. I said, oh no. Guys, let's back up. Bring the cameras. We're going home. Why do you need smoke, brother? When you have the fire. We don't want the smoke. We want the fire. I don't want the goosebumps. I want the fullness of His Spirit. I'm speaking to a bunch of people who's sick and tired of the donuts, who's sick and tired of the Frisco coffee. Killful. You want God. If you want goosebumps, there's a KFC here quick at Areni Village. We don't want goosebumps. I will need 100 places any. I want the power. I want God to reveal Himself to me. I want that burning bush experience. I want to be the one who cries out, show me your glory. But we have started off in the Spirit. We've got people that's on fire. When they start off, listen, there's no trouble. They don't give you any trouble. They go to church. They serve God with everything. They clean the toilets. Do you know how it works when they start off in the flesh? Give me something to do in church. All right, clean the toilets. I promise you, next week they don't come back to church. True witness. That's flesh. Spirit says, what can I do? What can I do for the Lord? Because zeal for my Father's house has eaten me up. Clean the toilets. What is that all? I'll clean the toilets. I'll cut the grass. If I can cut the grass. Anybody can cut the grass. Teenage wants, give me. I want to cut. I said, no. This is why when they book me in 5-star hotels and they book my team in 1-star hotels, I tell them, thank you so much for the 5-star. Thank you. But rather put me there with the 1-star. I had a fight with this teenager the other day. I told him, you sleep on the bed, I sleep on the couch. No way, he says, no way. And my pastor sleep on the couch. I say, you sleep on there, I'll sleep on the couch. I slept on the couch. I won. Hallelujah. Fire. Shut in your bones. You don't care what you have to wear, where you have to go, what you have to do. There's a mission on your head. Hallelujah. I want to quickly teach you this before we're going to get to the scripture in Acts chapter 28. It speaks about Paul's ministry on the island of Malta. But something happened before he reached Malta. Now, just quickly, I've touched on this before, and I want to touch on this quickly again. The Bible says that Paul was a persecutor of the Christians. He was a persecutor of the church. When he met on the road to Damascus, the road called Straight, the scripture says Jesus appeared to him. When he asked, "Who are you, Lord?" Jesus replied, "It is Jesus, it's Jesus whom you are persecuting." But the scripture says he persecuted the church, he persecuted Christians. So Jesus is saying, "Why are you persecuting me?" So when we persecute the church, we persecute people of God, we persecute Jesus. This is why the battle is not yours. I said the battle is not yours. God will vindicate you. But something happened later on scripture. Scripture says that he became blind. And eventually God said, "I'm going to show him how much he will have to suffer for my name's sake." Why did Paul have to suffer? Paul had to suffer for his name's sake. If you think about Paul, you think about John. John was the only disciple who didn't die with a horrible death. Murdered, killed. He died of old age. John was the beloved disciple whom Jesus loved. But the Bible says Paul was the one who had to go and be persecuted and suffer terrible things for his name's sake. Do you know why? Because Paul had to reap what he sowed. Paul was saved, by the way. That didn't extinct him from the situation. I'll say that again. It didn't stop God from telling Paul, "You're going to have to pay a price." Paul was saved when God said, "I'm going to show this man how much he's going to have to suffer for my name's sake." The Bible says Paul received 39 stripes. He was beaten like Jesus. He was hungry. He was on a ship, the same ship here, where the scripture says a big storm came and destroyed the whole ship. And so Paul came out of that water dry, or wet rather. He was hungry. He was thirsty. If you are spending time in the ocean, by the way, the Sauterach, you always get thirsty. You always get hungry. You can tell me whatever you want to do. If you go to Durban, you get hungry. You eat. You like my bunny chow, you buy my bunny chow, you eat my bunny chow. You get hungry, especially for bunny chow in Durban. But in any case. So this guy was hungry. He was afraid. He was wet. And the scripture says something happened when he got onto the island of Malta. Let's go to Acts 28 verse 1. Now, just by the way, just keep it on the screen. Hear me. I'm talking to you about a Paul, the same man who said, "It's no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me." I'm talking to you about a man who said that I am seated with Christ in heavenly places. It's the same man who said that I'm hidden in Christ. Come on, it's the same man that said I die daily. It's the same man. It's the same man that says, "When I came to you, I didn't come to you with persuasive words of human wisdom, but with the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith should not be in man, but in the power of God." It's the same man, the apostle of all time. Now, when they had escaped, they found out that the island was called Malta. Eventually, when the ship broke down and they got there, they understood the island was called Malta. Let's go. And the natives showed us unusual kindness. I want you to pause there. And the natives showed us unusual kindness. Something happens when you live a life of the Spirit. The Bible says that when Paul got there, that he was unknown. The natives, it's people that didn't knew him. The scripture says when Paul got his foot on the island of Malta. Now, I don't want to get personal. I want to get personal. Paul didn't step onto Malta and says, "Whoa, let's just see first who reigns in this place. What principalities and powers do I need to fight?" No, that's what the flesh does. The Spirit says, "Where I put my foot, it's mine." Because the Bible says when Paul got to that island, he found unusual kindness. I want you to say this, unusual favor. One more time. Come on, again. So a person that walks in the Spirit, you live a life of power. But you also live a life of unusual favor. You get favor while the rest of the world is battling, struggling, wondering. This favor that touches you. Listen, the Bible says that mercy and grace will follow you all the days of your life. But I declare that it will no longer just follow you. It will catch up with you. Woo! It will become your twin. It will become your right hand and your left hand. The Bible says when he got there, hallelujah. He didn't say, "Boys, we're going to fight a fight now." It's the same Paul that says, "Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world." It's the same Paul that says, "I am conscious about nothing."
Hallelujah. Except for Christ Jesus and him crucified. Vir die Afrikaners, ek is bewus van niks om my nie. Die enigste ding wat ek oor bewus is, is Christus Jesus en hom as gekruisigde.
Oh, I like that. Let's say that again. I think I'm going to teach at least 4 weeks on that word alone. I am conscious about nothing. Do you know what it means? I'm not conscious about what people think about me, people say about me. I don't care what songs they sing. I don't care how hot, how cold. I don't care how wet the toilets are. I don't care how tall the grass is outside. I'm conscious about nothing. I don't even, did you feel the devil when you walked in here? Oh, absolutely nothing. I'm not conscious about no devils. I'm conscious about one thing, and that's Christ Jesus and Him crucified. By the way, you cannot teach what I teach you now and not grow spiritually. There's people this morning that are going to reach a level of maturity in the Spirit. And you're going to understand what God has called you to do. What are you conscious about? I'm asking you a question. What are you conscious about? Many people are so devil conscious that they forget who they are in Christ. Paul never. Paul said that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. But that's what he said. He didn't go to Malta and said he's going to fight a huge legion of demons. No, the scripture says when he put his foot there, there was unusual favor. Let me just quickly tell you, the men around Paul ate. They received fire because of Paul's life. People around you will be influenced because of your life. Your spiritual walk that you are walking. You're not just walking this for no walk. Paul says, I have run the race. I have finished my course. And now they set before me a crown of righteousness. You know, you will run the race so that people around you will never have to run. They will connect with what you carry. This is why, take it, leave it. What you honor, you have access to. If there's favor on what you act, what you honor, you have access to favor. These men went with Paul to the island of Malta. I want you to shout unusual favor. One more time. So a man that walks in the Spirit, a woman that walks in the Spirit understands that, listen, last night I prayed about something. I said to the Lord, Lord, I ask that you will favor me. And I heard a rebuke. You are favored. We ask God to do things that you've already done. Oh Lord, please favor me. You favored. Step into what I have given you. It is accomplished. If you believe that, I want you to high five somebody and say, I am highly favored. Shout, I am highly favored. One more time. So the Bible says, and the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome. Number two, they kindled a fire. Stay with me, they kindled a fire. You know what the word kindle means? It means to ignite a fire. They've ignited a fire. Come on, they have ignited a fire. We have not been called, I've touched on this earlier, I want to say this again, we are not called to be moved by the donuts, the nice food that we get at church. You know, many people abuse the anointing. Let me just say this. Many people run to a church because the anointing is there. They take what they can get and they run off again. Pot plant Christians. They never rooted. And this is why many people start off in the Spirit and end off in the flesh, because the fire has never been ignited. They have experienced the fire once and then they leave the fire. Fire dies if you do not put wood on the fire. Fire needs to be constantly, continuously ignited. Is somebody in this house? Is somebody listening to me? It's awesome to have an experience with God 20 years ago. But what about last night? Did you have an encounter with God last night? Did you have an encounter with God the day before that? Listen, if my anointing on my life doesn't challenge you in the wrong church, I need to challenge you. I need to get you to a place where you mature in the Spirit of God. If you are today where you were last Sunday, then we are doing something wrong. In actual fact, I want to say something. It's time that we stop blaming the preachers. You can't blame me for your own spiritual growth. You have to grow. You have to get. And listen, it doesn't start here. It starts at your house. The way you worship God in your home is the way you worship Him at church. The way you pray here is the direct reflection of how you pray at your house. Come on, I need somebody that will get in this place and say, me and my house, we're going to rekindle that fire of God. We're going to start to seek Him with power and glory.
You have to get that fire going. And we have the precious Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not just an influence out there. He's a fire starter. You can call on Him any day of the day, any time of the day, and say, precious Holy Spirit, ignite the fire on the inside of me. And when the fire comes, don't fight the fire. Don't kill that fire. Run with the fire of God. And the fire of God will get you to a place where you, I believe with all of my heart, you don't even recognize the fleshly things no more. You don't tolerate the fleshly things. When you are a fire carrier, what you allow around you, very important. Take it, leave it. The fire is needed to be rekindled. But when you're around fleshly things, it kills the fire. I want to say this at Paul, the same Paul said the following. He said that the desires of the flesh, you know, he says that everybody or anybody that likes to rivalries, parties, drunkenness, lewdness, adultery, it goes on and on and on and on. He says those are works of the flesh, but those who do this will never inherit the kingdom of God. People has got no problem. I've seen this when the Bulls are playing. Loftus is gepak. But the churches struggling. I speak to pastors every single week. I went to a church, a guy called me, pastor called me, he said, please come, will you minister at my church? He says, just one problem, I've got 15 people. I said, that's no problem. So we got there, there's 15 people. I was scheduled for 3 days. Something happened. When we got there the first night, there was about 80 people. And then the fire came. And when the fire came, the 3 days meetings went over to 9 days with 500 people, most of them newly converted people in his church. That's what the fire of God does. When there's a big fire outside, I don't need to call my neighbors and say, neighbor, het jy gesien? The news reporters comes and say, there's a big fire. There's a big fire. Fire will spread. When the fire spreads, the word will spread. People will run to Jesus. This is why I'm so excited to live in the days that we're living in, the greatest days of all days, because in this hour, this day, we're going to see the greatest move of the Spirit of God yet. But we have a responsibility. The responsibility does not lie with your worship team. It does not lie with the pastor or the leadership of the church. The responsibility lies with yourself. You have to get yourself out of that bed. If Jesus can raise from the dead, you can raise from bed and go to church. My God, somebody listening to me, you have a responsibility to get to the fire and get rooted in that fire. And you know what the fire does? The fire purifies. Fire, when the fire of God comes, this is gemakkelijk nie. It brings things to the surface. You know, I wanna go deep, and I know maybe many people won't be happy with what I'm gonna say, but I'm gonna say this in any case. When the fire of God hits a church and a continuous fire goes, do you know what most people do? Most people of the flesh says, hang on now. I'm offended about something. I have to go to another church. And do you know why they do that? Because they go to places where they are not feeling the unction of the Holy Spirit in regards to their sin. So they go to places where the iron or the conscience, I see it like with a hot iron. But the fire of God is not coming to expose your sin. It's to change you. It's to get you into the image of Jesus Christ, to take you from glory to glory. People hate the fire of God. People hate the fire of God. People don't like when the move of the Spirit starts to impact generations. And you know why Satan fights the generations to come? If I think about this, when I was 5 years old, I was baptized with the Holy Spirit. Today's 5 years old, they've got data. Facebook and... Come on, when I was in the youth in church, we were on fire. Today's youth has got pants on their ankles. You know that? Swag. Boys. Bosh. Back then, I couldn't walk like that. There was a fire that kept me up. Zeal for my Father's house has eaten me up. This is why God used me. This is why in my generation God says, you're the man. Oh Lord, not me. I'm too shy. I'm an introvert. I can't preach. Shut up. You're coming. I'll be with your mouth. I've seen your heart. I've seen the fire that's on the inside of you. I've got two preachers that speaks into my life. Two guys that's very close to me that speaks into my life. And you know, both of them loves the fire of God. One of them rebuked me every now and then. Hey, what are you doing? I'm winning souls. Oh, you better. Speak to you later. Love you too. Bye. But the fire, when the fire of God comes, you've got to love to win the lost over to Jesus. And that's your mandate. That's your mandate. It's not cook and tea. There's not cook and tea for you. This is the church of the Holy Spirit, where His power will change you from glory to glory. If you believe that, shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. For they kindled the fire, they made us all feel very welcome because there was a rain and it was cold. And luckily, when I put my foot there, now hear me, I've got favor. I declare to you in the name of Jesus, if you walk in the Spirit, that from this second, and in, yes, Holy Spirit, I just have to do something, I have to redo something. I rebuke every lying vision that was spoken over your life. I rebuke every lying tongue that told you how bad the curse is. I break it off you through the blood of Jesus Christ right now. Not tomorrow, right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, through the power of the Holy Ghost, I break off every fear that has engripped your heart in Jesus' mighty name. Every single tongue that said you'll never make it, I break it off your life in Jesus' name. Now I declare to you from this very second, wherever you put your foot in the name of Jesus Christ, you will have favor, unusual favor, unusual kindness will open up doors for you in Jesus' name. You will not have to seek the blessing. The blessing will come to your house. It will knock on your door. Woo! It will shift you into another places. Wherever you go, the fires will be kindled because people will see you're a fire carrier in the name of Christ. Come on, where's the fire carriers? You will not have to, whoa. You will not have to manipulate the fire. You don't have to, you have to throw in the gimmicks for the fire. Wherever you go, the fire of God will be kindled. Why? Because you are the carrier of the fire of the living God. If you believe that, shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, you can do better than that. If you believe it, give Him a praise. I'm a fire carrier. Wherever I walk, I don't care what demons are coming. When I walk in a place, demons need to tremble because there's a fire I kindle. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! I like it. Hallelujah. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks, and I like this, the scripture says he got there, got favor, the fire was ready for them. But Paul didn't say, you know, I'm tired. You know, I'm tired. I'm just tired. I've been broken down in the ocean. I get soaked in my boat. No. Come out. Right. Paul could have all the... He was broken down in the ocean. He had salt in his mouth. You know. He didn't say, hey, boys, you know what day it is? It's Mother's Day. I'm kindling no fire here. I'm going to bed. Have a mommy a bossy rusk. No, that's what he said. He didn't say, I'm so tired. My body, I'm dragging my... He didn't say that. Do you know what he did? He did something. Something that somebody else couldn't do for him. He got his hands dirty. He got firewood for himself. He didn't wait for his brother because he knew if I don't put wood on this fire, mark my words, five minutes from now, the presence of God will sweep across this place. He didn't just say, well, oh, somebody else needs to do it. He knew that if I don't kindle this fire myself, it's going to die. He couldn't say, well, I'm riding on 20 years of experience. You know, back then, 10 years ago, we had a I don't think Paul ever said to Timothy, yeah, 10 years ago, we had a marvelous service. Yo, back then, the power of God moved, brother. But you know, that's days, that's past. No, Paul never said that. Paul never said that. Even in his most tired of times. Just quickly, I'm speaking out of experience. When you're at your tiredest, that's when God speaks at his loudest. When you're so tired that you can't get your body out of that bed, that's when God speaks to you. When you lay in a bed in the sun, on a Sunday morning and you're so tired, you say, I can't get out of this bed. Know that God's got a word for you. And you better tell that flesh of yours, you've got no choice. You are going. I'm going to church whether you're coming or not. The flesh must become a slave to the spirit. We are slaves of the flesh. We go where the flesh leads us. This is why Paul says that when we walk in the flesh, it's enmity towards God. Your flesh is an enemy of God. Your flesh hates anything that's godly. This is why you need the fire of God that will keep you sane, that will keep you on track, that will keep you hungry. But Paul came to a place, he says, now I need to do something for myself. I'm not waiting for the bishop. I'm not waiting for the prophet. I'm getting my hands dirty. The scripture says he took up the wood and he threw it into the fire. And something happened on. It says, when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid him on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat. Oh, do you like this? A viper came out because of what? Because of what? Of the heat and fastened on his hand. So the Bible says when Paul made the decision and said that I'm gonna keep this fire going myself, even though I'm tired, even though I'm wet, I'm hungry, I'm broken, I'm not gonna let the fire die, because fire is life. Fire is life. And the Bible says when he gathered a bundle of sticks, not just one, this means that Paul got up and he worked. Wanneer kom die bishop? Wanneer kom die pastoor? I'm going to make it work for myself. I'm getting up, gathering sticks. And the scripture says the minute he tossed it into the fire, a viper came out and bit him. Because of the heat. The attack that you are facing is just because of the heat. You didn't hear this. You're not going through what you're going through for nothing. It's because of the heat. The heat is a sign. Something happened when the vapor bit him. Did you see what Paul did? Jumped up. Ah! Kry 'n panado. Do you know what Paul did? And everybody said, wow, this guy's a murderer. He's going to die. They waited. The people around him waited him to swell up and fell over. The Bible says the only thing that Paul did was, when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, no doubt this is a murderer whom though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow him to live. But he shook off the creature in the fire and he suffered no harm. He shook him off. Because Paul is conscious about nothing. But Christ Jesus and him crucified. Many people, when the fire comes, they give attention to what grips them. Oh, the rejection. Oh, the loss. And they just so worry what's fastened to them. Whatever is attached to you will keep you back. Differentiate between those who's attached to you and those who's assigned to you. My God. I don't think you've heard this. Maybe you're just waiting on the Holy Spirit. Give me revelation now. This serpent was attached to him. Paul didn't make a fuss about it. He didn't run to Facebook about it. I'm going to tweet about you, brother. Selfie. Shook this thing off. The rest around him. But Paul knew, greater is he that's in me. I want to ask you a question. How do you kill something that's already dead? Paul says, I no longer live. Christ lives in me. How do you kill something that's already dead? They waited for Paul to die. How do you kill something that's already dead? A man that walks in the Spirit is dead. God can only use you according to the level of criticism that you can handle. The reason why God is not using you where you want to be is because you cannot handle the criticism. Criticism doesn't define you. We have a responsibility to rekindle that fire. To say, I'm running back to my very first love. I'm going back to the very place I fell in love with him. When I hear that name, I want to fall in love all over again. Am I speaking to the right crowd? Come on, am I speaking to the right crowd? When you think about Jesus, the first thing must come to your heart, what can I do for your kingdom, Lord? What can I do for you, Lord? How can I serve you? How can I love you, Lord? How can I take people into your presence? That's what it's all about. You have to shake off everything that is keeping you away from the fire. Today, take the authority and the decision to shake off depression and oppression and sickness and fear. Shake it off. Shake it off.
Lift your hands very quickly across this place. Spirit of God, I give you praise. I thank you. Grip people's hearts right now. Right now in Jesus' name. Come on, 2 more minutes. Just bear with me. 2 more minutes. Listen to me. What just bother me your eyes? I want to finish with this. Paul says, I bear the mark of Christ. I was shipwrecked, I was beaten, I was tired, I was hungry. Paul says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. The life I now live, I live unto the glory of God. The Bible says it's clear. Just look at me quickly. Just 2 minutes. Paul came to a place where he knew that wherever I go, Holy Spirit is just marvelous. That same portion of scripture, when a storm came on that ocean, do you know what Paul says? Don't worry, I've been quiet, nobody's going to die. This is going to be shipwreck. Do you know why nobody's going to die? Because I'm here. Okay, I'm going to try you this side. Nobody's going to die because I'm here. The ship may be battered, but the anchor is holding. Oh, the storm may be raging, but the anchor is holding. Don't worry, guys. When we get to Malta, they're not going to kill us. Because I'm there, we're going to experience unusual favor. I know what it means to live a life in the spirit. Fleshly things, fleshly people will never experience this. Fleshly people, you can never count on them. They're not sold out. They're not dependable. You can't depend on people today. Especially the church people today. It's a quick fix. The fire of God's not going to come for a quick fix. Who needs the fire of God to be rekindled in your life? I want to ask true people now. You know what it means to be in the presence of God, but you haven't been there for so long that you just need a touch from heaven. And even if it means I'm going to lose people by experiencing the fire of God, that's most of the times what's going to happen. You're going to lose some of your friends. You're going to lose some of your friends around your families. They're going to walk out. But you've got a fire of God. So I want to finish with this. If you walk in the spirit, you lay aside all the things of the flesh. Your time is not your time, it's God's time. Wherever he goes, you go. Wherever he sends you, you go. You are sold out. People of the spirit cannot be offended. People of the spirit cannot be offended. Doesn't matter what you tell them, they can't be offended. So people that's offended, it's not, I don't go against their character, I just go against their flesh, because the flesh keeps them offended. They're so offended. God cannot use an offended heart. The Spirit of God cannot move over an offended heart. He needs pure vessels, pure channels. But I see in my spirit, I see people coming to the Lord this morning saying, Lord, take all offense out of my heart and set me ablaze. I want to burn for you again. I want the fire of your spirit to rule in my life. Wherever you go, when you walk in the spirit, you will have supernatural favor. They don't even need to know you there. Your name is known in heaven. Am I speaking to the right crowd? The contracts that you need for your business, the only thing that you need is God by your side. When you walk into that place, you better act like a big shot. You're not just nobody. You're somebody. Christ died for you. You are highly favored. I declare this by the power of the Holy Ghost. From this morning, you'll experience unusual favor, unusual kindness in the name of Jesus. Who receives that? Say, Lord, I take it. I take it in Jesus' name. Wherever you go, there will be a fire. The fire of God's Spirit will be waiting for you. Firstly, you have to get the wood. You have to work it out for yourself. You have to go home after a powerful Sunday service and seek God during the week. Get here on a Wednesday. Get here on a Thursday. What about my family? Bring them with you. Get to the fire of God.
the fire changes you. Hallelujah. And when whatever attached itself on you, shake it off. Make the decision and say, from this day. Hallelujah. I'm walking in victory. I'm walking in the power of God. You need the fire of God, brother. The fire of God will never get you to a place where you're quiet. I don't know if you noticed, the Holy Spirit walked into this building. Everything's different now. Lift your hands across this place. The King of Glory is here. Spirit of the living God, I give you praise. I worship you, I worship you, I worship you.